Righty, well, thanks, Jeremy. Thanks, Tony and the team. Appreciate you leading us in worship this morning. And welcome, everyone. Good morning to Church Online, Narandra CRC, and also a special welcome to those from Leeton and Cooleman Hay that are all looking on with us. And so this is something new for us, but we're really excited to be able to continue to meet together in this way. We're all aware that because of the regulations regarding churches not being able to open or to meet, we fully support and understand the reasons for that, because we're really committed to taking care of our communities and looking out for those who are vulnerable in our communities at this time. And so it's a challenging time, but it's also a time of great opportunity for us to be able to love on our communities and care for our communities. And also this morning, I'm really excited because we get the opportunity to open the Word of God and to be able to encourage one another with the Word of God. In times like this, we come to, we're people of faith, and we come to God's Word and we see what God's Word has to say to us. And isn't that what we do week by week? And so it's no different now in this season. And so welcome, everyone, and it's great to be able to share with you the Word this morning. Thanks again to our worship team who've led us in worship this morning. You might say, well, why bother? Why not tap into all the fantastic preachers and resources that we have on YouTube and everywhere else? And look, they're great. And at a time like this, I think we're all enjoying a bit of extra time to be able to see what some of the great preachers around the world have to say and to tap in on those things. But there's something, while they're excellent, there's something about the church family coming together this morning, isn't there? There's something about the local church family. You know, we could eat at a five-star restaurant every night, but and that would probably be okay. But then what happens is we look forward, don't we, to that home-cooked meal where we come together in the family home and we share together as family. And so I guess that's how I see this morning. And that's why we've, taken time and made an effort, thanks to all those who've made the effort to make this possible, for us to be able to worship together as a church family in the communities in this region, and also to be able to bring the Word together. So just to welcome you again, and trust that this is a really inspiring and encouraging time as we open the Word up together. I want to share with you it's a passage that's always blessed my life and it's encouraged me at many times, and it's in Numbers chapter 13. What I'll do is I'll read quite a bit and we'll get the story and then I'll bring out a few thoughts from it. So we're going to read from Numbers chapter 13. You'll be able to follow me through if you have your Bibles there or your phones where you are, right in your home or wherever you are, you'll be able to follow through and read with us or follow through with us. But Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one, a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." And then we'll jump over to verses 17 to 20, just to give you a quick glimpse of the story. Verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13. "So Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, or whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." And then to verse 25, I'll just read from there. "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And then just one more short passage, chapter 14, verses 6 through to 9, and it just says, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Hey, what a great story and what a great passage. And I thought I would just read that through so that we could, you know, hear it. Hear some of the statements. Hear some of the really important things that were spoken as those spies came back. A little bit of background to this story is that God's people, the children of Israel, had been in Egypt, and we all know that they amazingly, miraculously came through the Red Sea as the sea parted, and so they came out of Egypt and then into what later became this area of the wilderness where they wandered for many years. But the plan of God wasn't that they wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The plan of God was that they would come out of Egypt and that then they would follow in obedience and in faith the promise that he'd given to them. And what happened was they would then come to Jordan, and they'd cross the river Jordan and into the land of promise, the land of Canaan. And so that was God's plan, not only to bring them out of Egypt, out of that place of slavery and captivity, but to bring them into his greatest promise, or the promised land, which was a land flowing, or described as a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, just to briefly look at this, coming out of Egypt is really a picture for us of when we actually receive Jesus and accept what he's done for us on the cross. When he died on the cross, he says he took upon himself our sin, our sickness. And so he took the punishment of our imperfection and our sin. And so coming out of Egypt, coming out of that slavery, the miracle of crossing the Red Sea is a picture of how we can be delivered from the prison of our sin and from that place of imperfection into forgiveness and love and grace and relationship with God. And then it was God's plan that he would take us into the promised land. You know, which for us is that we come out of the bondage of sin, but then what we do is we enter into every promise that he has for us. Everything that he desires, every promise that his word contains for us. He wants us to believe him and trust him and enter into that and take a hold of that. And so isn't that a beautiful picture of, coming out of Egypt and then into the promised land? And so this story that we're looking at in Numbers 13 is when the children of Israel were preparing to go in to the promised land. And so God asked through Moses for 12 spies, a leader from each tribe, each group, to go into the promised land and to spy it out and to see what was there. Remember, they'd been given the promise that this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And so what they were told to do was to go in and to see whether it was a good land, see if it was a challenging land, see who was there, see who lives in the land. You see, God didn't want to hide anything from them. He wanted them to see that the land was just like he promised, you know, that land of milk and honey. But he also wanted them to see that there were challenges, there were giants there, but to trust his promise more than what they actually saw in their circumstances. Hey, how much is that a picture for us today? You know, we know the promise of God. We know the reality of God. We know the blessing of God in our life. We know how to experience his healing power. We know how to experience his provision. We know that he has given us many promises. But you know, sometimes there seems to be giants there, doesn't there? And this is a season really where there are many things that have been said, many things that are before us that would make it seem like, well, where is God's promises? You know, how can God's promises come true? Because there are so many obstacles to what can happen. Well, I trust that as we just quickly look at a few things today, it'll be really helpful for you in where you are at and where we are at. Not only for ourselves, but you know the exciting thing is that when we reassure ourselves of what God has done and what God has promised and we take a hold of that for our own life, you know, it's not only us that benefits from that. Because what happens is, you know, we don't live for ourselves, do we? What we do is we have a heart that when God touches our life, we have a heart that wants to not only take the blessing for ourselves, not only take the promise for ourselves, not only take the truth for ourselves, not only experience relationship with God for ourselves, but we just so much want others to experience that same relationship, those same promises, the fulfillment of His Word in our daily lives. And so if we can understand how to take a hold of the promise, if we can learn from Joshua and Caleb, who had the Bible says they had a different spirit. 12 spies went in, 10 came back, gave a negative report. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, it says they had a different spirit, that they saw it differently. And so what I want to do now is to share four things that I think enabled Joshua and Caleb to see things differently in this story. And we'll be brief with it, but I think these will be helpful. I think they will be profound things that if you can take a hold of them and know that they are true and establish them in your heart, they will actually help you, but also help you to help others as well. So the first thing about Joshua and Caleb that I see is that they knew. And these are all things that they knew, things that they'd settled in their heart, in their knowledge of the reality of the situation. The first thing is they knew the promise of God. You know, the best way that I can see that in this story is that they quoted the original promise. And we don't have time this morning to go to where this promise was given to them originally, this land of promise, this land of Canaan, this land flowing with milk and honey. But this land was promised to them. And part of the wording of that promise was that this was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And so when the spies were sent in and they saw that it was a beautiful land, and part of the instructions, if you like, to go into the land, part of the instructions were to bring back some of the fruit. And why was that? Well, that's because that would be absolute proof. You know, the fruit that they brought back in this beautiful season of where the fruit was ripe and ready would show that this is truly a land flowing with milk and honey. And when they saw that, and when they remembered the promise, you know, here's the promise, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, this land is just like what God said it would be. Then what they could do is they could trust the promise of God even though they saw the giants there. You know, there's an amazing thing in this story that I like to point out always, is that God didn't want to hide the truth from them. You know, He didn't want them to pretend the giants weren't there. He wanted them to see the giants, but trust Him anyway. In one of the verses here, in verse 17, it says, go up this way, in the instructions that Moses gave them. Go up and spy out the land. Verse 17, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there are strong and weak, few or many. You see, they were actually sent to the south and they were sent to the mountains. And isn't it interesting, we get over into verse 29, and the guys who were bringing the negative report, the 10 spies, they said the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. Isn't that interesting? They were actually sent to the south. They were sent to the mountains. And when they went there, they came back and they said, well, these guys who had the negative report, these 10 guys, they said, well, you know, it's just like it was said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, they should have realized then and there, hey, that's the promise, that's enough. But unfortunately, what they did was they knew the promise, but then they said, but, and then they went on to explain why the promise would not be relevant to them or couldn't be fulfilled by them. In fact, you know, the 10 spies that were negative actually did know the promise, but they didn't understand some other factors that we'll talk about in a moment that Joshua and Caleb had settled in their life and in their mind and in their thinking. And so Joshua and Caleb later on, they said, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 8 of chapter 14, if the Lord delights in us, He'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. You see, why did they keep saying that? Because that they were the words that were contained in the original promise. For Joshua and Caleb, that was an important thing to remember and to quote and to say. This is the promise of God. And the promise of God, they said, was greater than the giants. You know, many people have quoted Psalm 91 in recent days. And Psalm 91 talks about some promises from God. He will deliver you. He will cover you. You know, He will protect you. There are many promises contained in Psalm 91. And that's why people have been sharing it lately. Because what they understand is we need to remember the promise. We need to know and remember and affirm the promise of God in our lives. So in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, it talks about, you know, He's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? That actually when we receive the promises and remember the promises and stand in faith upon the promises of God, and there's so many, the Bible is full of them. It says, you know, He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises, and that by those promises we become partakers of the divine nature. That actually it changes who we are. It changes the way we live. It changes the attitude that we live by. When we come into relationship with God, and then we take a hold of His promises and we stand upon His promises. So Joshua and Caleb, you know, they had a different spirit. They had a different attitude. They had a different approach. They had a different way of living. And that is that they knew the promise of God. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, it also says, all the promises of God in Him. When we're in Him, when we have relationship with Him, then all His promises are yes and amen. You know, we can't ignore Him and then expect to walk in His promises. We can't do that. A lot of people are saying, well, hang on, why doesn't God, you know, we're asking God, we're praying for God to take away, you know, this difficult situation that we're in. But, you know, sometimes we're in these difficult situations not because God is punishing us, but because we just live the way we want to live. We go the way we want to go. We ignore God. We don't have relationship with Him. We're not interested in what He's got to say. And so here it says, all the promises of God, when we are in Him, when we have relationship with Him, all His promises are yes and amen. So that's a great point, isn't it? That they knew the promises. Joshua and Caleb knew the promises. But, you know, even the guys, the 10 spies, they knew the promises, but there was a couple of other things that Joshua and Caleb knew that it would have been helpful for the other 10 to know as well. But we can learn from their mistake, can't we? The second one I want to talk about is that they knew God's ability. You see, I can promise you $1 million, but you wouldn't have to look at my bank statement for very long to know that I was promising you something that I couldn't deliver, not at this moment. And so a promise is really only as good as the ability of the person who is giving the promise to fulfill it. And so Joshua and Caleb, they knew the promise of God. But more than that, they knew the ability of God. And they made a few statements that we see here in this passage, particularly in reference to God is able to bring us through. God will bring us into the land. You know, the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What are they saying by that? They're saying, well, the Lord is with us, and so we don't need to be afraid because He is able to bring us into the fulfillment of His promise. So not only did God... did they understand the promise of God, but they understood God's ability. And so Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 is a beautiful verse for us to hold on to at this point. It says, now to Him, Ephesians 3, 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, His power, that works in us. Isn't that a beautiful one? And I've just got the verse here from the Amplified, which I thought I'd read to you as well. It says, now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers and hopes or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us. So it's good for Joshua and Caleb that they knew the promise. It's good for Joshua and Caleb that they knew God's ability. But you know, it's good for us too. To know His promises and also to trust His ability. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, sometimes what holds me back from asking Him for what I need or to get me through a situation. What holds me back, and particularly in days gone by, I guess I've learnt a lot more from experience to know that God is much bigger than me, and so I'm quicker to come to Him and ask Him, even when I can't see a way through. But one of the things that would have held me back in years gone by is that if I can't work it out, well, how could He possibly get me through? How could He possibly work this out? There's no way through. There's no solution. And you know what I've learned over the years is that actually He can do exceedingly above what I can ask or think. He actually is bigger than me. I know that'll surprise you. But He is bigger than me. And guess what? He's bigger than you too. And so you can say, well, I can't see a way out of this. I can't see a way through. Well, let me tell you, that's actually okay to be in that place. Because in that place, hopefully in that place, especially with some encouragement that I'm giving you today, you'll be able to say, well, you know what? God's given me a promise. And I don't know how my circumstances can change. Or I don't know how I can get through this situation. But what I can tell you is that He's able to do, find a way even when we can't understand a way. He's able to answer the question even when we don't have an answer. When we think the question is possibly unanswerable. And so that's a really encouraging thing for us too. That the Joshua and Caleb knew God's ability. And we need to not only know God's promise, but also know God's ability. Well, just two more to go. Joshua and Caleb also knew God's credibility. You know, again, if I say I'm going to give you something, and then you know me well enough to know that I've got the capability, the ability to give that to you, there's still another factor that's going to be necessary, isn't there? That actually I am someone who keeps my word. You know, I give the promise, I've got the ability to fulfill the promise. But if I get to a point where I change my mind, or if I get to a point where I just decide, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, well then my credibility, my faithfulness, my capacity to do it, but also my willingness to do it, my, you know, what is in my heart, what motivates me, my trustworthiness, are all factors that come into this situation when we're in a situation where we need to trust God and trust His promises. And so God's credibility was something that I believe Joshua and Caleb knew well. Again, chapter 14, verse 8, they said this. They said, if the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. You see, they weren't asking the question, like, if the Lord delights in us, I wonder if He does. You know, they weren't there kind of questioning that. It was the way they put it was, if the Lord delights in us, and in a sense, we know He does. If the Lord, then He will bring us through. I mean, they're there. They're saying to the others who are doubting. They're saying to the others who think, we can't do this. They're saying, we can't do this. He is saying, Joshua and Caleb are saying to them, well, you know what? God can do it and God will do it because He delights in us. There are so many scriptures that I could share with you this morning that tell us that God delights in us. You know, Sunday after Sunday, we usually weave into our messages and into our sermons, things that reflect the heart of God, the trustworthiness of God, the attitude of God, the desire of God for us, the way that He delights in us and favours us come into so many of the things that we speak about. You know, one of the words that I often say, people sometimes, you know, you're in a situation where people say, what are some things, you know, if you think about God, what are some things that, you know, you think of? Or when I'm just praising God, I'm thinking, what are some things that I love about Him that I just want to declare, you know, to Him and acknowledge? Well, you know, one of the things that almost always comes into my mind is God's faithfulness. I love that God is faithful. I love that what He says He will do, He will do. I love that I can trust Him no matter what. No matter what I do, no matter what happens, you know, He is faithful, you know, to His promise and to His word. So I know God's credibility. In 1 Thessalonians, you might have to look these up because I want to just quickly mention them to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, He who calls you is faithful. Again, let me read it from the Amplified that I've got it in here quickly for you. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is He who is calling you. Isn't that good? And He will do it. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is He who is calling you, and He will do it. That's a fantastic verse. And then Hebrews 10, verse 23, just says, Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. You know, when it says hold tightly to the confession of our faith without wavering, it just talks about let's keep on going in our faith. Let our faith be strong. Let our faith be continuous. Let our faith be solid. Well, faith has got to be based on something, hasn't it? Faith is not just some airy-fairy thing. Faith is not just like positive confession or, you know, wishful thinking. Faith is grounded and established upon something. And what it's established upon is his promise, his truth, what God has said and who God is. Joshua and Caleb knew the promise. Joshua and Caleb knew God's ability to fulfill his promise. But Joshua and Caleb also knew God's credibility, that he actually would do what he said and was able to do. Another verse actually in the passage just says, and the Lord is with us. You know, he's saying that the Lord is with us, obviously he's there with us, but there's also a sense whereby they're saying that he is with us. You know how I say, hey, I'm with you, I'm with you. Well, they mean that kind of sense. Well, not only are they there with you, but they're actually with you. And it makes sense, doesn't it? It makes perfect sense to all of you that actually that's what they're saying. God is with us. He will do it. In fact, they go on to say then, that's the basis for not being afraid of the giants that they were facing. You know what takes our fear away? It's no good somebody telling us when we're in a difficult situation, when we're in a frightening situation, when we're in a situation that we don't understand or that is threatening to us in some way, threatening to our life, threatening to our well-being, threatening to our the provision of our life, threatening to so many aspects of our life. You know, it's no good someone just saying, well, don't be afraid, it'll be right. Pat, pat, pat. It's no good just saying, come on, you'll be right, be positive. That doesn't work. You need a basis for your absence of fear. You need a basis for your positivity. And that's why I love preaching the Word of God. That's why I love sharing with you this morning. Because in this situation that we're in, it's not, come on guys, we can do this. I mean, that's a part of it, but it needs more than that. It's not just, well, don't be afraid, what's wrong with you? It's actually, you know what, there's a basis for you to establish your feet upon something solid. To trust God, to trust his promise, to trust his intention for your life, to trust that he has the ability but also the intention and the desire, and he is faithful, it's his very character, it's his very nature to want to fulfill his promise in your life. And if we will trust him, and if we will reach out to him, and if we will call out to him, and we'll involve him and include him and bring him into the centre of our life, for some of us, maybe that's something we need to do for the first time. Maybe we need to pray a prayer this morning and we need to say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand everything about you, but I know there's something inside of me that's just calling me to you. There's something inside of me that's just bearing witness to the fact that you are real and I need relationship with you. You know, I think that's something that's built into all of us. And so this morning I'd say to you, even if you don't understand at all, just come to him and say, Lord, I just want to open my life to you. And I can tell you, after many years of walking a journey of faith, you know, as I learn more things and learn more of his promises and learn more of his ability and learn more of his character and his intentions for me, I get more and more solid, more and more, I stand on more and more solid ground, you know, underneath my feet, that enables me to, in difficult times, to say, you know what, I know that it'll be okay. And it's not just, I know it'll be okay, wishful thinking like, it's, I'm not afraid because my feet are established upon something that takes my fear away. And so that's how I encourage you this morning. And you know, the fourth thing, which I'll just be really quick on, is they knew, Joshua and Caleb, knew their own ability in God. You know, it's interesting because God actually brings strength into us. And then he tells us to be strong and of good courage. We don't have time to turn to it this morning, but Joshua chapter 1, in fact, shows us a bit of a progression of this story, where because of those 10 spies, the children of Israel, God's people, didn't go in and possess the promised land at that time. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but there came a time where Moses passed away, Joshua became the leader, this is the start of Joshua chapter 1, and God says to Joshua, every promise that I've given to Moses, I will give to you. And he encourages Joshua to rise up and to trust him and to lead the people into the promised land. Hey, Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that had a different spirit. And here was Joshua. came to a point where he was the one who was going to lead the next generation into this promised land. Joshua was told to be strong and be courageous. Not pray for courage and pray for strength, although there's nothing wrong with that. But God has given us a basis whereby, because of his promise, because of his ability, because of his credibility, he's the person that he is and his heart for us, that actually he has put something into us. He's put his own strength into us. He has put hope into us. He has put peace into us. And so what happens is he tells us then that you are well able to go in. You are well able to possess what the promise is that has been given to you. You know, in this story, in verse 30, in the middle of the passage that I read that had all the guys being negative and saying, we can never do this, you know, they're greater than us. You get to verse 30 of chapter 13, and it says that Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Who? We are well able to overcome it. We can do this. We can go in. You see, these guys went on then and responded and said, no, we're like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we're like grasshoppers in their sight. But what did Joshua and Caleb say? No, because of him, because of God, because of who God is, we are well able to do it. They understood who they were. They saw who they were in the eyes of their father. We are well able to overcome it. You know, there are voices all around us at this moment, and this is not, it doesn't just happen now, it happens often through our life. Voices that bring inferiority or insecurity or fear or shame. You know, you could name a whole list of things. But there's a greater voice, and that is the voice of God, the truth of his word, the promises of his word that tell us how he sees us. Things that God says about you, about who you are and how he knew you before you were born, and his plan and his purpose for your life. These are things that give you strength and give you courage, so that you can be a person that is strong and courageous. I'll finish with this verse in Philippians 4:13. And it just says in the older translation, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I'd like to read it from another translation. It says this, I can do all things which he has called me to do. This is the Amplified. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Isn't that good? I can do all things. It's through Christ, through his power within me. I am sufficient with Christ's sufficiency and ready for whatever comes because he infuses inner strength and confidence into me. Joshua and Caleb, we can know the promise of God. Joshua and Caleb, we can know God's ability. We can know God's credibility. And we can know our own ability in God. Father, thank you for your word. It's so encouraging. It's so rich. Lord, as we take a hold of it and trust it and see it outworked in our life, Lord, then it makes such a big difference to the way that we see things around us, the way we see ourselves, the way we see you, the way we see our life, the way we even see one another. Lord, help us. Help us to identify, Lord, ourselves through your eyes, to see ourselves in the mirror of your word, but also, Lord, to be able to see one another, Lord, through your eyes as well, filled with compassion, filled with love, filled with grace. Lord, filled with words of truth and encouragement and strength that we can share with one another, bringing hope and peace, Lord, and encouragement, bringing courage to one another. Lord, thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, bless us as we take a hold of your word and put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. What a privilege to share with you this morning. Thank you.